Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning. Cornelia Rutherford is here along with a couple of guests that we'll introduce you to in just a second. Morning, Cornelia. Good to have you here this morning.
Hi, Ted. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's a great fair day.
It is a great fair day. The fair is underway. This yes. is a Pirate Weekend.
As Jim Miller would say, yes, it is Pirate Weekend, and it's also Memorial Day weekend. For the record, we're there Saturday and Sunday only, and on Monday we're home licking our wounds and doing laundry.
And the as you always point out, the Virginia Renaissance Fair is rain or shine. When it rains,
we shine.
So there is that. So depending on what the weather's like this weekend, you can still go and have a good time at the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Only if you now have a ticket. We're sold out.
Oh, this weekend?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I did not know
yes.
that.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Call me. I can't give you a ticket. We're sold out.
Okay. Well, and that's, as we'll mention this a few times, tickets are only available online. So that's where
correct.
You get tickets. And you have on your Facebook page of third party, you know, if someone's
right.
trying to sell you tickets.
Yeah, I never thought we'd be there. But last year, people were online saying, oh, we can sell you a ticket, blah, blah, blah. No, they can't. It's a scam. Don't fall for it. There's two more weekends. I strongly advise you get your tickets now because there's a lot of people who waited until later for this weekend and are very disappointed.
Every time you have come in and we've done these shows, we have talked about don't wait.
Don't
and
wait.
That is why. So, and especially after this weekend with just a couple more weekends left.
Right.
People are going to be jumping at it.
Yes, this is Pirate Weekend, and next weekend is Shakespeare and Fantasy, and then the one after that is Romance, right?
Right.
Right.
That is it. VARF.org.
Correct.
That's where you get
The tickets.
Get tickets and all kinds of good information there, all kinds of pictures and things on Facebook, too, on the Virginia Renaissance Fair at Lake Anna Winery.
Yes.
Saturday and Sunday. You've brought a couple of guests this morning.
I did. I brought a mother-daughter team. Karen Carrier, mom, has been my education coordinator pretty much since we started the show. She's worked very diligently to come up with creative ways to educate while entertaining and take home things. We've had things off and on the website that are great for teachers. So we have a lot going on. And then her daughter, Aileen Carrier, who is a member of the townsfolk and has been in the Ren Fair arena since you were nine?
Something like that. I was in elementary school.
Okay. So you've done this a while.
Oh, yeah. I was at the original one.
Yes. So they have sort of different things to talk about, but Karen has really helped structure our education mission. We've had an educational mission. We've always worked on it, but it's always sort of been the redheaded stepchild. I mean, we do a lot of educational things,
right.
But as far as getting it organized and standardized and have an SOP for it, that kind of thing, and a project management kind of style. And this past year, she's worked really hard so that next year, I think we're going to have a really, really robust, more dynamic year-round educational offerings, not just during the fair, but on our website.
Karen, we have talked about this before, but you take this seriously. I mean, this is a big part of the fair, and this is more than just, we're education. You do take it seriously.
I do. I really enjoy education, and the whole thing's kind of ironic because I did take some education classes in college, but I ended up being a math and physics major.
Who would have guessed? I would have thought, the totally opposite, that, that you were, that history and education were your thing.
Yeah, and actually, no. I didn't really get interested in either of them. When the first fair came out, I took my daughter to it, and she had a ball. She loved it. But being a working parent's only child, Aileen really wanted to do it. And she's not very sports inclined, so she was really into this. So we started, and we have been doing it ever since. And this is about 25, 30 years. And I discovered I loved history, and I loved working with the children and adults, but I like the kids a lot, like interfacing with them and coming up ways to kind of sneak education into what we're doing.
So, Aileen, what was it about the Renaissance Fair that, really grabbed you as just a little kid?
Well, I always did like history. History and mythology, things like that. So it was just one of those, you could live it out.
Yeah.
And, of course, then you have the people in the fancy costumes. I started out in court, so I got to be one of those people in fancy costumes. The only guild I have never been in is militia.
Okay.
Otherwise, I've been in every guild.
So how many years have you been involved with the Renaissance Fair?
Pretty much all of them. There was a couple of years college-related where, you know, you can't get out to do it because it's not practical to drive 3 hours one way just to get back for rehearsals.
Yeah, she's been with me. Well, it's funny because I can't remember the difference from when she was a little kid and would come down to Kids Kingdom and when she joined our show. So, I mean, Aileen has just been there, and Karen, like, forever.
So many people are like that with the Renaissance Fair, and that's what makes it so special. But people do get hooked on this.
Yes, and you know, as Bobby Hebert always says, this thing will change your life, and it does. We have a huge brand new cast this year, and I can tell you already that almost every one of them, probably all of them, are I'll see next year. Because unless something happens, they are, first of all, they're so good. And secondly, they're loving it. We have a lady who drives up from Norfolk every weekend.
Every weekend?
Every weekend, and stays in her RV, I think, somewhere. But comes up every weekend. When she auditioned, she said, you know, I just auditioned to see if I could do it, but I can't do that. I can't be coming up here. And then first rehearsal, I pulled in and she was getting out of her car. And I was so glad to see her. But because it's infectious, whatever this thing is that we do, it's, I've heard it so many times, it's like coming home.
Yeah.
And if that's, you know, if that's what we can do, and I hope we can do it for our patrons, then we have succeeded. Not bad for a bunch of volunteers.
Not bad at all. VARF.org. You can't get tickets this weekend, but you got a couple more weekends through June the 7th. Is that the last?
That is correct.
That's the last.
June 7th.
Jeff's on weekends.
And I can tell you that all the Saturdays are getting real close to full.
Keep that in mind then. VARF.org. We're talking Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning. Quick break. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Council.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
It is a Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning. VARF.org through June 7th at Lake Anna Winery. Is where Virginia Renaissance Fair is. Cornelia Rutherford is here. Karen and Aileen here also. Karen Carrier and Aileen Carrier, mom and daughter here this morning, involved with the Renaissance Fair. So Karen, is it fun to be able to, it's got to be fun to do this, you know, to do a mother-daughter thing.
It is a lot of fun. One of the things that kind of started is because you have, for minors, you have to have a parent on site, which is how I kind of got into it. But it's a lot of fun. We've been in kind of the same guilds and different guilds. The older she's gotten, she gets into different guilds, and I've been focusing a lot more on trying to do the educational stuff. And we actually have a lot of stuff that has educational back to it that people don't really realize exactly what kind of education it is. But I really enjoy doing things with Aileen and watching her grow and do her do different things as well.
Oh, it's for you, Aileen, it's got to be fun doing this, mom and daughter.
Yeah, it is fun. Getting to spend time with my mom, do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, yeah. So you're part of the – so talk to me about what being part of the townspeople involves.
So the townsfolk are – really like what makes the atmosphere of the fair, I think.
Yeah.
We do 3 different dance sets. We help with storming of the walls, which is a kid's thing, teaching about castles. But then you're just kind of wandering around interacting with everybody. And everyone has a different bit that they're going with. Like, we have Finn DeBreeze with his giant fan.
Yeah.
He's your biggest fan.
He's your biggest fan. I get it.
Yeah.
So what do you have something special that you do?
Yeah, so I am Mistress Ima, the dragon trainer. So I have a dragon named Frederick. He's here in the studio.
It is. It's small. You were telling me that. Yeah. I mean, it's like a puppet too.
Yeah, it is a puppet, so I can make him move around. He has his own props. And he's wearing a hat right now.
Yeah.
He has a kilt, which is not here, but he has a kilt. He has a pike. I found like a tiny hammer for him.
A sign?
I did signs the 1 year where we had this whole thing where it was this person versus this person. So Frederick had signs for those people, so he would carry those signs around.
So have you developed this over the years, or is this your prop for this year and you're just developing this year?
I've been doing this for years.
Oh, okay.
He's a little worn in spots because he carries objects.
Well, I would think that being part of the townspeople has got to be a lot of fun because, like you say, you fit in and you can kind of work with other people and you kind of just, you know, kind of put things together as you go.
Yeah, you can create bits with other people, or you can just randomly improv, like, oh, I see Master Meehan, and you can come up with something just on the spot. Or
and she works with me at my show at 4 o'clock.
Yep,
she's my lady's maid.
Oh, okay. So yes. You do several things then.
Yeah. I get randomly promoted during the day.
Yes.
That's one way to look at it. But boy, Cornelia, part of the magic of the Renaissance Fair is the Aileens and the people like the townsfolks. Yes. And everybody has a big role.
Right. We like to think that our main... Okay, there's lots of entertainment. There's musicians and acrobats and dog shows, all kinds of stage entertainments. And, of course, there's all the wonderful shopping. We have over 100 different crafters on site with wares that they have actually made. There's the goats, which are fun down in the woods. But our main entertainment is our cast, which is huge. It's around 100 people. And the goal is that you would have, when you come as a patron, an interaction with a cast member, one-on-one or one-on-small group. And we want you to play with us, as you know, Ted, because you didn't want to play.
I didn't want to play. I was determined. You will not make me. I will come, I will observe, and I will not play. And I was forced to play.
If you ignore us, we just get louder! But
and that's what happened. That is what happened. I was told, and I was told specifically.
Yes.
You know, this is what's going to happen, and you know, you need to play along. And I said, I don't want to. I'm not. Yeah. I said, I don't have to.
And now you're like Finn McBreeze, one of our biggest fans.
I know. Right. But it is, and that's it. So like as a townsperson, I mean, mm-hmm. Aileen, do you like seek people out? You know, do you look for people that maybe you can, you know, carry on a conversation with?
Yeah, I do. You can usually tell. And also families with kids.
Yeah.
They tend to like Frederick.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you get the kids who are like, oh my gosh. And they're just like staring at it. And
Aileen and Frederick are couple of the most photographed people on the site. Because he looks like he's a real, he's made out of alligator hide for starters, but
that is true.
He looks pretty good, but he's great. He's a great icebreaker with especially small children who might be a little overwhelmed. Saturday we had, it was very busy. We had a lot of people, and it was loud and boisterous, and you know there was a lot going on. Bagpipes, people had to shout over the pipes, you know, things like that. And for small children, it can be a little overwhelming. So the townsfolk being able to get down on their level, having the puppet, having other props, having games they can play, is a real big icebreaker. Because we don't just talk to adults, we talk to everybody.
Like we have our toy maker, Ambrose, will just randomly sit down in the field and start playing games with kids.
Yeah.
And has Sir Slimy, which is another... It's plushy kind of thing that he carries around on his back.
I would think that because every moment is different. Does the day generally go pretty fast for when you're out? You know, when you're out, you know, entertaining and doing things, is it a pretty fast day?
Yeah, it does. It does seem like it goes pretty fast when there's people there. When there's nobody, that you walk around going, okay, what am I doing?
Yeah,
but that doesn't happen often.
I was going to say, when was the last time we had a nobody? I think it was 2007, maybe.
I know that. Sometimes it starts slow.
It starts slow. Sunday mornings.
Slow, yeah.
Sunday mornings are slow until church lets out.
Okay.
And if it's raining, then it'll be a little slower. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But people come in the rain. I mean, we expect a couple thousand even if it's raining. It always happens.
Well, and there's so much going on because whether it's the townspeople, it's the queen, or it's just even the various merchants and things that you have down in the woods. There's always something. You can pick and choose what you want to do.
Oh yeah, dancing. Dancing this year is a hot topic. Let me tell you, last Saturday at the first dance set of the day, there were 130 people in the circle dancing. It got a little weird because the circle stopped being a circle and became sort of an amoeba, so there was enough room. But every dance set is full, lots of people. They're even doing a dance set of sorts down in the Queen's court. And again, you know, there's all these things you can take part in, like the Court of Common Pleas, where you can bring your buddy or your husband or a complete stranger up on charges, and it makes great theater. And the Ladies' Court of Love, where, girls, you know those things that he did and he said or whatever, and you just tucked it away in the back of your mind.
Now's the chance you can use it.
Now's the time, yes. So you can bring things to the Ladies' Court of Love, which is more about feelings.
You and I have been talking about the Ren Pfeffer, I don't know how many years now. I
mean, over 20.
You and I have been coming and talking.
Over 20.
You seem to, and you've said from the very beginning, even before rehearsals had started, how much you liked this group, and you had a lot of new people. You just seem to be having a really fun time this year.
I'm having a blast this year, and part of it is because I have an administrative staff, you know, our directors and our executive staff that are exceptional. Everybody knows what needs to be done and they just do it. And after almost 25 years, we've gotten it down so that, yes, there's hiccups. We're improv actors, and honey, do we improv when we have to. But we've got it to the point now where we can actually step back as the leaders, that group, and enjoy it ourselves. It's not all, well, I say that except for my poor general manager, who has been watching the weather hourly for a week and huffing in a paper sack. But, and that's because it just, rain presents its whole other level of issues that we have to deal with, and we deal with them. But we have to change our mindset based on the weather. And after all these years, we've been really lucky, but we get out of practice with rain, and now we're going to get rain. So.
Yeah,
but not much. It looks good. It looks pretty decent.
It does, yeah. For
just
this, for
scattered
this
showers. We'll
yeah,
be all right.
Yeah, because you have to deal with parking and things like that, and that's when you're in a rural
right.
area and you have fields. You sometimes have
right, and if entertainers normally do something on a stage, and our stages are open air, and then it starts to pour, they've all gotten really good of ducking under the big tents. And just performing under there.
Yeah.
Is it the same show? No, it's a modified show, but they're all good at it because there's things you can do under a tent with a more intimate audience
yeah.
when you're closer up that are lost on a big stage. So everybody has their backup. Like we have rain garb that we wear because if you don't, I have this red velvet gown that weighs about 30 pounds dry, and when it's wet, it's twice that.
I can't imagine.
So, and I'm not taking my red velvet out in the mud, honey. So I will put on something that is older and still looks good, but if it gets destroyed by the rain, I'm not going to get that worked up about it.
How does Frederick handle the rain, Aileen?
I have a cloak that I got forever ago, and then he kind of peeks out from inside.
Oh, okay. Well, that works, too. We can take a quick break and come back and talk more. Karen, the educational coordinator for the Virginia Renaissance Fair, I had forgotten the last time you came, you brought handouts, and it was very interesting. We're going to talk about that when we come back, because I just noticed you have some handouts, and we'll talk about that because you did this last year, and it was fascinating stuff. Virginia Renaissance Fair through June 7th, weekends at Lake Anna Winery, Saturdays and Sundays, varf.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We're coming up on 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
We are talking at Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning. Good old Cornelia Rutherford is back along with, and I don't mean old in an old sense.
I mean,
sense.
I'm old, but I'm not old, dude.
No. I'm talking about just that we go back and have
we
a history.
We 20 have years history. Or more, maybe.
Because I'm old, too, so we're
all. Right.
So we're all, but no, that was just... It was affectionately. It was said affectionately.
You're coming to the ladies' court of love, dude.
That'll be the problem.
Have your
the time
number.
I'm there, you'll be come with me.
I will dress out early for that one.
I never thought of that. That could be a problem.
That's one of the things I will tuck away.
Aileen Carrier is here along with Karen Carrier. Karen is the educational coordinator. Last time you were here and we talked about education, Karen, I just noticed now you brought some worksheets.
Well, actually, what I brought is a picture of a flower.
Okay.
Okay, when you look at it, it's a flower. And if you look at it closely, you can see the detail on the petals and the veins. It's actually a secret message.
A secret message.
Yes. And it is a Bacon cipher, which has a substitution cipher put on top of it. So a Bacon cipher was developed by Sir Francis Bacon, and it consists of 5 characters, all A's or B's.
Okay.
So in the figure, a single point is an A, a double point is a B. So when you go through it, you will count it off to get your character names. Because we substitute it, the single points are your A's, your double points are your B's. And my daughter Aileen designed it for me, but at the very top she added a little extra line so people know where to start. And the veins are the same way. They each have a little message in them. The whole thing says we are such stuff as dreams are made on.
Okay.
Okay. But it's part of how there's a lot of education that you don't actually see as education. You know, to be able to do ciphers, yeah, there's a lot of you know, just repetition and understanding, but to debug them, to break them, requires a lot of pattern recognition. It uses frequency analysis, which was done by the Arabs. But frequency analysis, if you know the language and you know the target audience, you can start counting how many times the letters are being used. E is the most popular letter in the English language. You know, certain letter patterns come, and you can start figuring out what these things mean. So that's part of how we're using applied mathematics. I also work in, of all things, the militia.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually the wife of a merchant who is there to kind of coerce the captain of the ship to come join my husband. So that's my excuse for being in the militia. So I do a lot with the ciphers. Now, Captain James does a lot with navigation, and he talks about all the reasons he's not lost. We've gotten so far to the point of being able to go to the phone, to go to a computer or a piece of equipment to say, okay, here we are. But back in the 16th century, it's all applied geometry. You know, this is how you figure out the angle. This is how you figure out your latitude. This is how you calculate longitude, because you can't measure longitude.
Yeah.
You have to calculate it. This is how you tell what your speed is. The same thing with the weaponry in the militia. It's using a lot of basic physics on why we have the pikes, why the pole arms are so effective, why you can take a pole arm and be able to pierce armor. Because some of them have points in the very part, and it focuses the force into a very small area, and it allows you to overcome the armor. The same thing, we have a replica of a 16th century cannon. You know, that works inside of a ship. The trick is, how do you get a cannon, an 800-pound cannon, to move forward and backwards and not put a hole in your ship? We use a lot of pulley systems to be able to get the mechanical advantage. We also, even though they don't understand the formal language of it, because some of it hasn't been invented, they understand through trial and error and practice what the results are. If you fire something, you get the recoil, you get the reaction. For every action, there's a reaction. You know, so that's how they managed to, they put a breech rope on the back of a cannon, so you no longer have a loose cannon in your ship. You have the pikes, which are 16, 18 plus feet long. You can put a pike and you position it against the incept so it's pushing down towards the ground. And you can do this with a little child, you can do it with an adult. You can hang adults off the other end and they will not move. And they demonstrate it every weekend down in the militia. So there's a lot of practical stuff that we don't even think about anymore, because so much is computerized with machines. And these are practical illustrations of what you can do that people don't even think of. The ironic thing is everyone's into weapons. But if you ask people about come and see the weapons, they go, oh, yeah, sure, we know about it. But you ask them to see sharp, pointy, shiny things, everyone gets this glint in their eyes, because we're just so far removed from that environment now.
It's great. It's just one of those clever ways that we educate. When you're in pike drill and you're learning how to handle that pike and take horse and all that, then suddenly once someone explains the why of it, you go, oh, so there's so much that happens in the fair that where you're learning without even realizing it.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of learning there, but you've made it fun and really practical.
Well, and I haven't really done any of this. I've been tracking what people do, because this is stuff they've been doing on their own forever. So documenting it, a lot of this stuff is stuff that people do as part. It's not part of any formal education. This is just what they do. But documenting it and understanding the rationale behind it really makes people start thinking about what they're learning. The other little thing that people don't think about that we provide is also something on linguistics. You know, when you're thinking about the migration of the language, for example, the term loose cannon. You know, in common Utex, it's, you know, someone who's going off doing their own thing.
Yep.
Loose cannon came in when you're dealing with shipboard cannons.
A literal loose cannon.
When you don't have a breech rope behind the cannon, it gets off its carriage, it rolls around, it's a loose cannon, it's dangerous. If it goes through an open hatch, 800 pounds goes right out the bottom of your boat, and you soon follow it. The phrase, between the devil and a deep blue sea. The devil is actually a major seam on a ship between the deck and the hull that you have to put pitch in. And it's a very awkward seam to get to. And I never realized this until Jim explained it to me. But between the devil and the deep blue sea essentially implies that you're on the side of the ship. You're on the railing. So on one side is the devil, which is the pitch seam. On the other side is the ocean, which if you're not careful, you'll fall into. So you get a lot of that. But now between the devil and the sea means you're damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this was the original thing. The term knots, you know, it means speed. But why did it mean speed? Because they have actually a, as Jim puts it, an analog computer based upon time and distance around the Earth to be able to figure out how fast a ship is going. But simply by throwing something overboard, and time, and basically, you know, you let it play out, and when the little sand hour, the little sand glass goes off, you pull it back in, and then they have knots tied within the little rope. And as you come in, you count the knots that passed under your finger, and that becomes the number of knots, number of nautical miles per hour that the ship is going. Now it's just colloquialized as, yeah, I'm going 12 knots.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fast, I think.
This whole conversation's fascinating.
It's great. You know, and also in the militias, Mistress Hilly's cooking demonstrations, and she does more than just bake and cook stuff. She explains how you can tell the oven's hot enough and the various, why they used the ingredients they used. Constance's baking show talks about the different kinds of bread and why one group used one kind and one used another and how they padded their mix with chalk and things like that. But there's so much that it's not just like a baking show so you can go home and bake it. It's why we did the stuff and why we used the ingredients. My show about clothing is cod pieces and corsets is not just here's all the pieces that we're wearing, but why are we wearing them? What do they say about our culture and our time? So everything we do.
You always say that, but boy, to hear examples of it and to realize, and especially I can think for kids to come and see this, it's going to help them someday in school when you start dealing with these things because you can visualize it or you've seen it.
I think what it does with kids on a 30,000 foot level is that it makes them realize that history is more than dates, names, and places memorized and regurgitated back up to pass a test. That history was actually the people that came before them, and because of those people, we're here now, and the lessons they learned the hard way so that we don't have to make those mistakes.
Like we have a storming of the walls, which they generally recruit young kids in general for that one. But they teach about the castle, what would farmers use as a primary weapon against attacking army. They would use rocks because, you know, that's what they have. They have rocks.
Yeah.
What is a petard? Petard is basically a can full of shrapnel that... how you would defend a castle. And this is all things that little kids are learning. And, of course, then they get to throw styrofoam rocks at guys with pikes.
And they dump boiling oil or popcorn over the wall onto the people.
Still, it's a lot of fun, but you're learning something.
Right. Oh, we have another thing. Down in, just as you go into the woodland, there's a little tiny stage. I think it's 4x8. And it's called the apple crate stage. And there's apple crates on there. And in them are cards, laminated cards of Shakespeare or poetry or things. And that is there for anyone who would like to perform. Take something out, get your friends, perform some of the things that are on the card, or just do it yourself. And I saw, I think it was Sunday when it was so hot, people were on the apple crate stage grabbing their things and performing. So we want everybody to play.
Well, and so When you always talk every year in every show that we do, you talk about Cornelia, the fact that this is, you know, you're about education.
Yeah.
And you are.
All about education. And I also want to reiterate, this is an all-volunteer operation. I'm a volunteer. Everyone here that I've ever brought in is a volunteer. Our medical staff, who worked their keisters off this weekend, all professionals and volunteers. The Green Knights, who keep the tents up and the place safe, and the guy trash picked up, and pick your emergency. You locked your keys in the car. They get you into your car. The guys in the kilts and the green T-shirts. Those guys, all volunteers. Everyone, the people who work in customer service, who hand out the maps and schedules, who scan your ticket, who give you the armband so you can get a beer, and get your armband before you walk all the way down to the hill, because that hill is a long one coming back up. But they're all volunteers, every single one. And they come and they do this out of love, because we are greater than the sum of our parts. It takes everybody. It takes all the vendors, all the volunteers, and especially the patrons to make the magic happen.
Yeah, boy, and Karen, you've seen this, with Cornelia up close for a lot of years, and it's everybody has kind of the same story that you have of where I never thought I would. I kind of did it, and I just I'll go along, and then you do it, and now you're getting to incorporate the education part of this.
It's been a lot of fun, and it filled a need I never knew I had. When you spend your professional career working with computers, which is the one thing I forgot to mention, with the Bacon Cipher, because it's all just A's and B's, it is actually a binary representation. With computers, they all work with binary, zeros and one.
Yeah.
Bacon is the same concept. They only work with A's and B's. You replace them with a number, and they're zeros and ones. So this is actually a binary representation back in the 16th century. But because all I work with are computers and machinery and all of this, this felt a need to be able to interact with people. And it's taken a while to get very comfortable with it. I started with a small marionette that the kids loved. I actually had a elementary school child. It was a puppet, an actual marionette. He had wings. Explained to me what I would have to teach Edmerk in order for him to fly. And she was talking about thermal updrafts and all of this. And it was fabulous. And this was a little elementary school kid who just really got into this. But it's the same concept. You have something that breaks the ice with the little ones. And they love to work with puppets or marionettes, something they feel is non-threatening. And it's fabulous. It satisfies the need for me. It brings the little kids in. So it's something I've really enjoyed. And I never thought I would. I did it because my daughter really wanted to do it.
Ditto.
Yeah, me too.
Well, and the funny thing, Karen, with you, and I remember now when you came in and we talked about this last year, I would have thought you were a teacher just because you're so you explain it so well, and the fact that you didn't have a background in that was just as astounding.
I love the math. I love pattern recognition, and I love new things, but I really like talking to the children and talking to them about these different things, letting them do things hand-on. And I never realized that this was something I really, really liked until I actually got involved with this, and not until actually Corny started her show. Because in the big fair, it's kind of your character, and that's basically about it. And this is something I've kind of evolved into liking to do this. Because when I first started, I was afraid to open my mouth.
You know why I picked Karen? Because
she's so smart.
Oh God, yeah, she glows in the dark. She's so bright.
Yes. She might be the smartest guest I've ever had.
But at the old show, when Aileen was this little girl and she really wanted to do it, and she was a kid. She had a limited attention span, And so Aileen used to get taken all around the fair. Somebody from the court would bring her down to us over at Kids Kingdom, and we'd have her for a while. When she got bored, we'd take her over to the militia, and somebody there would walk her over somewhere else. But I watched Karen. You didn't. This will creep you out, I'm sure. I watched Karen, how she used everything at the fair to teach Aileen different things.
Yeah.
Not just physics and geometry, but social skills and manners and how to walk in her dress and everything. She used something at the fair to teach her child. And I've watched Aileen grow up. Now it's been, what, 30 years?
30 years, yes. And,
but I was so struck by how Karen grabbed every experience at that fair. The singing at the end of the day, the warm-up exercises before the show opened, every single thing we did, Karen used it as a learning experience for her kid. And I was blown away by that.
Yeah.
Because she not only saw what we'd call an educational lesson, like K through 12 educational lesson, she saw life, ways to learn from life. And that is what I wanted. And when I asked her to do it, I think I had to do a little arm twisting.
You had to do a lot of arm twisting.
Yeah. But I knew she had it in her. And I think we got a little off track there, because running a Renaissance fair is there's so many balls in the air at all the time. But we've got a plan now. She's working with one of our other cast members, and actually one of the administrative people now, Sharon Kraftcheck. And man, they are rolling. We're going to have such a robust, dramatic, and really innovative learning process for next year. I'm really excited.
We can take a quick break and wrap this up. Good stuff this morning. VARF.org, the Virginia Renaissance Fair. No tickets this weekend. They are sold out. But if you want, there's only two more weekends after this weekend. And if you want to go, you need to get on your tickets in the next little bit, because they are going to be gone. VARF.org, Virginia Renaissance Fair through June 7th on the weekends at Lake Anna Winery. Cornelia Rutherford is here, Karen Carrier is here, and Aileen Carrier here this morning. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVN.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Cornelia Rutherford here this morning. Aileen Carrier, Karen Carrier here this morning, as they are involved with the Renaissance Fair. Renaissance Fair through June the 7th at Lake Anna Winery on the weekends. And again, you can only get tickets online. Tickets are sold out this weekend. So use that as a guide to know that the next two weekends, if you don't have tickets now, you should get them. VARF.org. So I haven't even asked you, Aileen, and we don't have much time, but Frederick there, the gator, does he
he's a dragon. He's got
or dragon, I mean. Did I say gator? No, dragon. Well, he's gator-ish.
He is. A lot of people were like, "That's an alligator." I'm like, "No,
it's a dragon."
It's a dragon.
Does Frederick have a voice?
He's a little shy, so he's a little quiet. I usually go meep.
Oh, okay. I didn't want you at the end to go at the end to say Frederick didn't get to talk. So
no, he's a little shy. It's fine.
That answers that. Well, Karen, it sounds like, you know, moving forward, the education part of this, and as you've described it in just a little bit of a nutshell, I mean, it's about to explode.
Well, we're working on it. Sharon and I have come. She's got some really, really good ideas of way to expand, and you know, there's ways of showing. Just because it's in the past doesn't mean it doesn't connect to something now.
Yeah.
So understanding why things happened in the past shows stuff. You can see a lot of the same thing. We just handled it differently between then and now. So we're hoping to make that a little bit clearer to help people to understand a little bit more of, you know, the history and even diverse backgrounds. There's a lot of commonality. You know, everybody has certain things that they do. It may not be the same, but it's still the same kind of thing. But we're really excited. We're, like I said, Sharon's really interested and has a lot of really good ideas.
So, Cornelia, you've only got a pass, you know, again, this weekend sold out. Yes. Next weekend's going to sell out, I'm sure, and the
probably
following weekend.
Yeah.
So if you want to come. And
right. There are no ticket sales at the gate. None. Zero. So don't come and hope that you'll just get in. And please don't fall for the scammers online, because that's what they are, scammers, all of them. But if you've got a ticket, come on down. Wear reasonable shoes. Bring a poncho in your backpack or whatever, just in case the rain. But currently, it looks like it might just be damp. So we may be okay.
We can live with that.
Yeah,
we can live with that. You've had to deal with much, much tougher situations.
Oh, yeah.
VARF.org for the Virginia Renaissance Fair. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ted.
This has been so fun. This has been a very fast hour. Karen, you are so smart. You can come back anytime and just talk. It's just great stuff. VARF.org for the Virginia Renaissance Fair. That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily...